Jimmy Butler facing the Bulls for the first time with Minnesota. 49ers held a press conference today after quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo signed a new deal, becoming the NFL's highest paid player in terms of average annual value.
You know, I've talked to my brothers about it the last 24 hours, flying here and everything. It's if you would have asked me as a little kid if I thought this was a reality, probably not. But you always dream about being, you know, that NFL quarterback and everything, and this is just taking another step in that direction, I guess.
Jimmy Garoppolo signing a 5-year, $137.5 million deal with San Francisco. College basketball, Missouri's Michael Porter says there's a good chance that he plays again this season. The projected lottery pick has played in just 2 minutes this season after having back surgery in November.
The NBA on ESPN Radio. LaMarcus Aldridge and the Spurs look to even the season series against Steph Curry and the Warriors. Tonight, 8 Eastern on ABC and ESPN Radio.
As a small business owner, you're juggling it all, including customers' calls from your personal phone. But with Grasshopper, you get a business phone number and a business phone system from our mobile app so you can work smarter, not harder. Grasshopper forwards calls, texts, even transcribes voicemails. Everything you need to simplify your business and stay responsive. With Grasshopper, there's no long-term contracts and customer support is 24/7. Whether you're starting or growing your business, Grasshopper is the answer. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio.
Napa Know-How.
Right now, you can get a $20 prepaid Visa gift card by mail with the purchase of a Napa Legend Premium battery. Its superior durability, capacity, and power make it the obvious choice for people who hate getting stranded by a dead car battery. So pretty much everyone. The Napa Legend Premium battery and $20 back. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer ends 2/28/18.
Truex is hoping for a repeat performance. I'm Kyle Rickey. That story next on NASCAR Today, midday.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Okay, time out. You're gonna let your budget be the boss of you? Take control with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay for car insurance, and we'll help you find options that fit your budget. Here's some music to get you pumped. Da-dong-da-dong-da-dong-da-dong-dang-dang. I hear your budget laughing at you. Oh, wait, that's just those kids laughing at me. Ignore them!
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In order to maximize a vehicle's performance and efficiency, the proper adjustments need to be made based on the road ahead. That's true for both race car drivers on the track and for truck drivers hauling freight on the highway. But if your truck's equipped with a Detroit DT12 automated manual transmission with intelligent powertrain management, adjustments are made automatically based on GPS terrain mapping, maximizing performance and efficiency. Don't just want better business solutions, demand them. Learn more at demanddetroit.com.
Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series teams check into Daytona International Speedway today as practice gets underway tomorrow for next Sunday's Daytona 500. Everyone will be chasing the series defending champion Martin Truex Jr., who hopes to do exactly what his team did a year ago, pick up stage wins and points early in the season.
We knew stage points would be a big deal for us just to have a little bit of a cushion if something bad were to happen. I don't know that we ever seen getting 70 bonus points or whatever it was that we had. We were just fast and we were up front a lot. We qualified well. Just being consistent, not making mistakes.
Practice gets underway at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time tomorrow for teams participating in Sunday's Advanced Auto Parts Clash, which can be heard here on the Motor Racing Network and MRN.com. I'm Kyle Rickey. This is NASCAR Today Midday on the Motor Racing Network.
6:05, welcome back. Welcome to hour number 3 of the Todd Brollenkamp Show along with Alex Kuhn. Pleased to be joined by Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com. It is Friday. It is the 6 o'clock hour. That means it's the big hour, brought to you by our friends at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, Steve Anderson and his crew located on Highway 1 West in Iowa City. Appreciate their sponsorship. We'll have Hawkeye basketball to look forward to tomorrow. Iowa heads east to Columbus to take on number 14 Ohio State, one of three teams looking to be a shoe-in for the NCAA tournament out of the Big Ten at this point. 4 or 5, who knows how many teams the Big Ten's going to get this year, but it probably won't be all that many. But before we switch gears and talk basketball, let's look back a little bit on signing day 2.0 this week. Rob, what are you calling this? What are you referring to this at the late signing period, but it's the original signing period.
Yeah, but I think we have to adjust and call it the late signing period in December, the early signing period. That's the way I'm going anyway.
Well, we'll find out from our next guest how they are approaching the terminology here. Tyler Barnes, the director of recruiting for the Iowa football program, joining us now. And Tyler, sort of uncharted territory this year with the early signing period. How did you guys handle that? Did you have to do anything differently this year?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, guys, how you doing? You know, it was a little different. We didn't really know what to expect coming into this year. You know, it was a little bit new, and I think it was new for everybody. But terminology aside, I'm not sure we'd call either. You know, I can see that December signing period or maybe earlier becoming the main period. But, you know, it was good to get most of our class wrapped up in December. It made for a little bit more hectic December, but it certainly made for a little bit more lax January. So, you know, we're able to get ahead, finish our class off in January and get ahead a little bit with the junior recruiting. So, you know, it's we definitely learned some things going through it for the first time, some things we might change up a little bit next year. But all in all, I think a lot of schools were happy with it, and I think our staff certainly was happy with it. And we'll kind of, you know, we'll see what the NCAA decides to do, you know, if they decide to change anything or move some stuff around next year. But either way, you know, we'll do what we got to do. But, you know, I think certainly in Iowa City, we've got a bunch of fans of this early signing day.
Tyler, you kind of led me into the question of what did you learn from this? In talking to Tom Wilson and John Wagoner, I think that, you know, Tom has done this for so long, and he kind of, in talking with him, he learned that, you know, maybe coaches and athletes at the high school level can't wait too long during the season to, you know, start to move on, you know, official visits and things like that. What did you guys learn from that early period that maybe you'll, you know, institute next year going into that early period?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's always, no matter whether it's a December signing period or January or February signing period, I mean, there's always going to be a race for certain spots. You know, it's definitely a numbers game at every school. You know, I think a little bit of it was, you know, I don't know how well educated everybody was this year, including, you know, high school coaches and prospects. You know, around the country, I think some kids just didn't really understand what was going on and how it was going to work. Again, it was kind of the first year and it was new. You know, if you go back and look, I think one of the things that was a little bit surprising this year for all of us was the MAC schools and the Group of Five schools. You know, those guys did a really good job getting those classes signed and taking care of getting their guys, you know, wrapped up in December. You know, move forward to next year, I don't know if you're going to see that as much. You know, and when you look into January, you saw a lot of guys that had a bunch of schools coming after them, you know, that had a bunch of offers that might have been inflated a little bit, but they were the best available. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of guys available at that point. So it's, you know, it's always going to be a little bit of a numbers race, you know, when it comes down to it. You know, the interesting part is you got guys that want to play and concentrate on their senior seasons, and they might not want to take any visits during the season, but if they haven't decided, you know, that certainly can get tricky. So it's something that, you know, we've got to probably do a better job of talking to guys, you know, both high school coaches and prospects about it and educating them about it. But at the same time, I think now seeing everybody go through it for a year, I think you're going to see, you know, some more of those guys are a little bit more aware on, you know, just the timing and everything and the pace of everything. It's, you know, everything's moving up. Everything's going faster. I don't know if it's going to stop anytime soon, but it's, again, it's something we're certainly trying to adjust to a little bit as well.
Iowa Director of Recruiting Tyler Barnes joining us here on a Friday edition of the program. You mentioned the job that the MAC schools and the schools outside of the Power Five did. Do you feel like that's going to put more pressure on Big Ten coaches and Power Five coaches to make their sales pitch earlier in the process in that first signing period?
Certainly. You know, certainly. I think you saw it a little bit this year with some of the schools in our conference. And, you know, and that's one thing we tried to prepare for, and we talked about, you know, at length a few different times, you know, last spring is, you know, let's make sure we've got our B list and our next up list, you know, ready to go, and we got to be ready to make decisions, you know, in December. Now, that, you know, one thing we're fortunate with is Coach Ferris has always been incredible, and we're going to save a couple of spots because there's always guys that develop in their senior year, and they're going to, you know, they're going to pop out in December, January. So we're always going to keep, you know, a couple to a few spots every year when it comes down to that. But I think we had a pretty good plan in place, you know, going into this year that, hey, we're going to move on this guy or this guy, and we're going to make sure we're not rushing into it. You know, we don't want to reach on anybody. We don't want to make an offer or take a kid that we don't know enough about. We still got to be diligent and thorough, and we got to make sure we're making the right decision.
Now, Tyler, I think a lot of the confusion with the early signing period, or at least the question marks were around college football, is the coaching carousel and how that impacts the early signing period. Did you find that the stability of your the coaching staff kind of helped you during that early period, whereas some coaches are just kind of maybe a month into their new job, or some programs are even looking for a new coach? You mentioned the Group of Five, and it's very prevalent at that level.
Yeah, you know, we're incredibly lucky. I mean, stability at Iowa is, you know, it's unmatched around the country, and we're a little spoiled when it comes to that. And it's nice to not have to worry about that when you're talking to kids and their parents and coaches. And it's definitely something, you know, you don't have to scramble with it. You know, I feel for some of those kids and the schools that go through coaching changes this late, because it's really hard. It's really uncharted territory when you're looking at two different signing dates. You know, you come in as a new coach at a different school, and you get there in January, you know, you might already have half your class signed, but these are kids you know nothing about that are bound to you in the school, and then you've got 30 days to finish off the rest of your class. So it's, you know, it's unfortunate. I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't spend a whole lot of time thinking about it. I don't know if anybody on our staff did, again, because, you know, we've got a pretty fortunate situation, but it'll be interesting to see how the NCAA handles it moving forward, you know, because it's certainly an issue. It's something that is probably a little unfair to those high school kids that sign and a coach is gone. And, you know, that's probably the one big true downside of this early signing period is just, you know, these kids may sign and then you never know what's going to happen. So I don't know if that'll force some kids that know they're committed to a school that may be on some shaky ground, if they want to wait or what'll happen. But again, we're going to focus on what we've got to do and the kids we need and kids we want. And we'll keep an eye out, obviously, you know, on some guys that are committed to other schools that might be on shaky ground. But, you know, it's all going to be very dependent. It's, you know, definitely a fluid, you know, case-by-case basis for sure.
Tyler, something new that's coming up this spring and summer are the official visits now for juniors in the spring and summer of their junior years, which we haven't had before. Do you guys like that, and how will you handle it? I know you've, in the past, liked to get your official visits kind of as a group in December, but also you may have kids that want to make an earlier decision. How will you guys do that?
That's the million-dollar question. It's good timing. We talked, you know, a little bit about that yesterday as a staff, and we haven't really come to a conclusion. You know, it's there's a million different opinions. We're trying to talk to different high school coaches, other schools, and kind of get a feel for the landscape on what everybody else is thinking. Again, you know, it's uncharted territory. You know, we do like to have kind of a group visit weekend if we can. We like to have the last crack at a kid too. But when you got kids coming from distance, you know, the spring official visit period is probably going to be key. How exactly we're going to handle that, that's kind of TBD. You know, we need to gather some more information, and we need to talk a little bit more as a staff to kind of figure out how we want to attack it and what really makes the most sense for us.
You've touched on the fact that recruiting is kind of a 24/7, 365 business at this point. Is there such thing as a slow period for you? When do you get to take a breath?
You know, there's some parts of the year where it slows down a little bit, if you will, but you really don't. You know, you have the dead periods where kids can't be on campus, but just because they can't be on campus doesn't mean our staff isn't working, you know, hard at recruiting guys and still talking to kids and coaches and their families. And you know, that never stops. You know, the whole relationship part of it never stops. And you've got to be available, and you got to be around. And that's everybody on our staff. You know, this year is kind of nice. You know, we had most of our work done in December, and it just had a whole different focus in January. So it wasn't nearly as hectic as January's in the past. But, you know, you got to be, and it's always, you know, there's a few different seasons when it comes down to it between recruiting and spring football and the season and whatnot. But the recruiting never stops. And it's my job to make sure I can help out our staff, you know, do what they need and be there as a support system to help them out so they can be efficient in recruiting these guys. And you know, it's being organized and being on top of things and being able to, you know, really see the next steps is what's big for us. But at this point in recruiting, you know, it really doesn't stop. You know, it's kind of how you want to handle it. And, you know, you can take those dead periods to breathe a little bit without guys on campus. But, you know, you're going to be on your phone, you know, talking, texting the kids and high school coaches just the same as you would, you know, the other 11 months of the year.
I think you guys got signed 22 kids in this class. Is obviously guys coming from all different parts of the country, different backgrounds, different, you know, upbringings, things like that. But when you look at this, you know, in totality as a group, Tyler, are there characteristics or just kind of something that defines this group?
You know, it's gonna be similar to, you know, most of the classes we try and sign. You know, we're obviously first and foremost, we're looking for, you know, tough, intelligent, humble, hardworking football players. You know, it's the culture of Iowa football, and before anything, we got to make sure that the guys that we're recruiting and we're trying to bring in here fit what we're trying to do as a program. And that goes back to the stability of this program. You know, we're fortunate that we're not searching for our identity. You know, we're not going to go through an identity crisis. We know who we are. You've got Coach Ferentz, Coach Doyle, Coach Parker, Coach Morgan. The list goes on. We've had coaches that have been here for a long time, and they've seen the type of kids that are successful in this program, and they kind of know what, you know, they know what we need. They know what we need to go identify. They know the guys that fit here. So that certainly helps. I mean, that's always going to be at the core of every group that we recruit. You know, you certainly got some guys, you know, from, you know, Spencer Petras from California, probably a little bit different area than we're used to recruiting. But when it comes to quarterbacks, you know, you got to search the country to find one of those guys. But, you know, we feel good about the guys coming in. We're excited to get them on campus in June and get working with these guys. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I'll let you know how good the class is in 3 years.
How excited are you to work with Derek Foster? It sounds like he's got some recruiting connections in places that should help strengthen your staff.
For sure. You know, for sure. Coach Foster's a young, energetic guy who's got some ties down south, which is always a good thing to have. But again, you know, he's through the interview process, you know, a big part of it was, you know, he really understands the culture we have here and the type of kids that have a chance to be successful here. And that's a big part of being excited about him recruiting. You know, a good idea of what we need to find and who we can find and how we can move about it. And then obviously have those relationships down south. He's got a head start. You know, he's already had that developed for a while, and he certainly knows the places to go and, you know, the coaches he can trust. So it'll be good. It'll be good to get working with him and kind of get him adjusted and situated here. And it'll be nice to get him out on the road come spring and see what we can do down south.
I don't think people understand kind of what happens behind the scenes, Tyler. I know that's a big part of your job. And, you know, Kelvin's the recruiting coordinator. You're the director of recruiting. Tell the listeners kind of what your job is, what you do, and how you and Kelvin work together with the coaches to kind of bring this whole thing together.
Yeah, certainly. And there's another guy, Scott Southgate, yes, our director of player personnel, right, who's an integral part of everything we do, too. You know, Scott and I are kind of the guys behind the scenes, if you will. You know, usually we're not out on the road recruiting. Certain circumstances, we're fortunate enough to get out and go. But, you know, for Scott and I and with Kelvin involved as well, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, we've just got to be there as a support system for our coaching staff to, you know, logistically help with everything, planning visits, getting kids on campus, communicating with kids, coaches, and their parents. You know, initial evaluation on some of these guys. Scott does an unbelievable job with Coach Morgan with our walk-on program and the in-state recruiting. You know, Scott knows more about the state of Iowa than anybody I've ever met in my life. But it's you name it, and we're probably doing it behind the scenes somehow, some way. Again, we just got to do our best to make sure everything for our coaches is right at their fingertips. And, you know, whether it's while they're on the road and getting them information they need, helping plan out their trips on where they're going, who they're seeing, from flights to cars, to whatever it may be, you know, we've got to be there for those guys. And it doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a 24/7 job, you know, and it's fun to do. And you're working with a bunch of different personalities, guys that are recruiting all over the country, but really, anything that comes into contact with the recruitment of a student athlete, you know, at some point, Scott and myself and Kelvin, we're there doing something in some support system or some way to kind of facilitate that recruitment and help our coaches, you know, do what they need to do and help them out to facilitate the recruitment of a student athlete.
Tyler, we appreciate you taking the time to join us tonight, and it never stops. As we touched on, you're already working on 2019 and beyond. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Was Tyler Barnes, the director of recruiting. I'm glad we talked with him and Kelvin a couple years ago on the recruiting spectacular.
And Scott Southmade, too. I was remiss of me not to mention him. And those three guys are kind of they head up the whole recruiting deal.
Worthless trivia. Scott Southmade and I have the exact same birth date, April 18th, 1980.
Wow.
He's gotten a little further in life than I have. He's working for a Division I football program, and I'm sitting here making my own coffee. But interesting, director of recruiting and Kelvin Bell and his job title and the differences in what those guys do. And they are the ones who work primarily, as he said, behind the scenes and don't get a whole lot of the glory for what the product that gets put out there.
It's become such an involved, and I know Alex, as somebody who follows college football very closely, if you look at, especially in the SEC, if you look at Alabama's recruiting, whatever you want to call it, staff, Army, It's really, really involved. And what Iowa does, they don't – and it's not that I don't think – I think they like a smaller group of people that are more, like, together with what they do, whereas Alabama and some of the SEC schools just spread it out and just – as I said, put an army in it, but it's really a lot of work to just organize, put your board together, contact kids, get them on campus, find out if they're the right fit for you, talk to their parents. It's just, it's really involved. And then we see the, you know, we end up seeing the finished product on signing day.
And I always think it's interesting when you hear people talk about a head coach, whether it's Matt Campbell or Nick Saban. Oh, they're a great recruiter. And to a certain extent, that's true, but it's the assistant coaches who are out on the road all the time, who have their zones and are constantly – that's their entire job. That's their entire livelihood. And I think back to Eric Johnson, the former recruiter in St. Louis, kind of walked away from it all because that's what you're doing all the time. And your entire livelihood is based on taking calls from 16- and 17-year-old kids all the time. So it's one of the more thankless jobs – in sports, yet it is 100% of your program. You're coaching your current players, but you're constantly building your next team, and that the process never stops.
And now Eric Johnson is taking calls from 16 and 17 year old kids that say they can't work certain night. He's going to have to dip into the fill ins. So yeah, he basically said, I can't take this anymore. I want to spend a little bit more time with my family. And he went off and ran a fast food restaurant, runs a fast food restaurant, an empire. I think he's got two or three of them down there. And in Tennessee, I'll have to check in with our old pal Tyler Ryder and see if he's ever eaten at one of Eric Johnson's restaurants. 6:22, we're going to step aside, take a quick timeout. When we return, we'll get you another big board update. And then more Hawkeye talk to come and join the conversation. 319-366-1600. That's the Hertine and Stocker text line. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com sitting in on the Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Back with more of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn after this.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP,
recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
On March 3rd, St. Joseph's Catholic School will be hosting their biggest fundraiser of the year, the 2018 Shamrock Gala, and are in need of donations for the silent auction. Money raised will be used for new, safer bleachers in their gym. Can you help?
Details at KGYMradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Check, check, and check. Whole to-do list done. And it's game time.
I only gave you that list an hour ago.
Right.
You fixed the dishwasher, washed the dog, and got us a mortgage in less than an hour?
Yep. Dishwasher was simple, Bruno was no trouble, and I got us an online mortgage at Fairfax State Savings Bank, where we were approved in like 20 minutes.
You demand, babe. Let's watch that game. High five.
Fairfax State Savings Bank. Visit thebankhere.com for a mortgage or refinance today. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Have you been to the Fieldhouse lately? Yeah, the Fieldhouse. You know, the one and only Hawkeye Bar in Cedar Rapids. The sports bar where the food never takes second place. The famous happy hour that everybody loves. That's the one, the Fieldhouse. Bring your buddies for lunch this week. Stop in and grab a table or order online at fieldhouse1stav.com. Give your lunch hour a shot of black and gold pride at the Fieldhouse on First Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Welcome back in. The Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continuing on as we make our way towards 7 o'clock tonight. You're hearing us on 1600 AM and 106.3 FM, our South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym, currently occupied with high school basketball. Many of our frequencies will be occupied with high school basketball coming up later tonight. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com sitting in with us tonight, as he does every Friday. Plenty to get to with basketball on the horizon. But before we get into that talk, we got to squeeze in another big board update brought to you by Midwest One. They've got over 40 locations across the corridor for all your banking needs.
Matt Campbell and the Iowa State football program announced some big news today. Senior former walk-on quarterback Kyle Kemp has been granted a sixth year of eligibility by the NCAA. A release from the school explains the extra years based on the totality and circumstances surrounding his transfer from Oregon State and Hutchinson Community College in Kansas. Campbell also announced that Kemp will finish his career on scholarship. The Iowa women would appear to have their swagger back now that they've won three in a row following an 80-76 victory over Penn State last night in Iowa City. Megan Gustafson continued her downright incredible season with 33 points, 14 boards, and a career-high 7 assists, while senior Chase Coley was good for a career-best 24 points. The Rough Riders are going to be traveling around this weekend. They've got a game tonight in Des Moines with the Buccaneers, and they follow that with another one on the road tomorrow night with the Waterloo Blackhawks. You're hearing us right now on either 106.3 FM, the South Gym, or 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, because we've got a girl-boy doubleheader between Cedar Rapids, Washington, and Jefferson on 107.5 FM, the North Gym. The boys should be getting started shortly after our show's finished, at which point you can catch that broadcast on all three KGYM frequencies. Looking ahead to tomorrow, you can hear the Cyclone Men hosting Trae Young in Oklahoma beginning at noon on the Main Gym, followed by the women hosting Oklahoma State at 6. We're also going to have UNI traveling to Drake at 2:30 on the North and South Gym FM frequencies.
UNI and Drake, Knapp Center, should be a good game tomorrow. As we mentioned earlier, Drake is going to honor that 2007-2008 men's basketball team that kind of put the Bulldogs back on the map. Adam Emenecker and the whole crew. Maybe he'll stop at Jethro's for an Emenecker before he goes to the Knapp Center. But plenty of good basketball to come this weekend, including Iowa and Ohio State. The Hawkeyes hitting the road for Value City Arena in Columbus as they take on Chris Holtman and the Buckeyes. Still getting used to saying that. Now, Chris Holtman, the former Butler coach in his first year on the job after taking over for Thad Matta. And needless to say, things are looking pretty good for the Buckeyes. We're going to talk a little bit about Iowa and Ohio State next, as well as taking a look back on Tuesday night's impressive performance by the Hawks. Rob and I were both there. Give our thoughts and take yours at 319-366-1600 when we return after this.
If you're still looking for the perfect Valentine's gift that's going to check all the boxes, you got to visit 1-800-Flowers.com. With beautiful bouquets and deals to match, winning Valentine's is easy with 1-800-Flowers. Right now, when you order early, you can get 18 red roses for only $29.99 or upgrade to 24 red roses for only $10 more. This is an unbelievable offer from 1-800-Flowers. 18 red roses for $29.99 or upgrade to 24 red roses for only $10 more. Roses from 1-800-Flowers are picked at their peak and shipped overnight to ensure freshness. 18 red roses for only $29.99 or an upgrade to 24 red roses for just $10 more. It's the perfect reward for thinking ahead. Valentine's Day is only 5 days away, so take advantage now. Make sure you lock in this offer, only good while supplies last. To order 18 red roses for $29.99 or upgrade to 24 red roses for only $10 more, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code SPAIN. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com, code SPAIN.
This is what Las Vegas sounds like most of the time. But on March 4th, thanks to Pennzoil, the City of Lights is going to sound a lot more like this. Get ready for March 4th in Las Vegas as the world's best drivers compete for the ultimate jackpot in the Pennzoil 400, presented by Jiffy Lube. Make the switch to Pennzoil Synthetics to get complete protection for top engine performance and go all in on race day. Visit Pennzoil.com/Pennzoil400 to learn more.
The way she's always singing, her silly laugh, the way she kisses me hello. This Valentine's Day, I want to turn everything I love about her into the one thing she'll love forever, an engagement ring.
It's the Jared Valentine's Day Diamond Event, February 1st through the 14th. Save up to $1,000 off any diamond when you buy her setting at Jared. And let our expert jewelers help you find or create the one ring that could only be for her. That's why he went to Jared. Some exclusions apply. See Jared.com for details.
Well, this is extremely exciting. Darren Rovell has just tweeted out that LeVar Ball has claimed to have struck a deal with a Lithuanian company that will be marketing Big Baller brand water. There you go. You can drink like a big baller and probably pay big baller prices too. They want $200 for a pair of sandals. How much are they going to get for a bottle of Lithuanian? What'd you drink? Lithuanian water. I wasn't here for Woodja yesterday. Maybe it was Lithuanian water that led me to being under the weather. I don't know.
What is Big Baller brand water? Is it sparkling water? Is it regular water?
It's water for big ballers.
Is it better than the water in Ames?
Hey, if he wants to be a big baller, he should go to Ames and bottle it straight from the source.
Is it like the water from Space Jam?
I'm just ready for this guy's 15 minutes to be up.
Like the old arcade games where the racing games where you had to hit the checkpoint and it would add extra time.
Yep.
I think LeVar keeps hitting the checkpoint and keeps adding to the 15 minutes of fame.
It's incredible. He's laughing all the way to the bank.
He had some video with Kevin Hart. I saw it kind of come up on my social media feeds. I did not click on it. I'm not being a party to that nonsense.
But I'm in the minority,
I think.
You got to do what you got to do to make a buck.
I remember when the Eagles won the NFC Championship and Darren Rovell had tweeted out that Crisco had gotten like $3.5 million worth of free advertisement after the Eagles won the NFC Championship game because they kept mentioning that they were using Crisco to grease up the poles so nobody would climb on them. My follow-up question was, how much free advertising has LeVar Ball gotten? $3.5 million in one day for Crisco? I can't even imagine the astronomical number. For Big Baller brand.
Poor Tom Cakert, our pal Tom, is going to have to be spending money on shipping Lithuanian drinking water to his house in Bluegrass. I have a feeling his son is just obsessed with the Ball family. The Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement, continuing on our third voice tonight, Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com. And let's take a dive on Hawkeye hoops, because this is, I think, a lot more interesting than I was expecting it to be. Tuesday night at Carver Hawkeye Arena, I thought, I'm going to get waxed by Michigan State, and then I was going to have to go play a top 15 team at Ohio State. And you and I were both there, Rob. I watched that team on Tuesday, and all I could think to myself is, where has this been all year? Now, granted, it still didn't involve them playing a lick of defense, but offensively, they were running with the Spartans, and they were right there in that game.
Yeah, and I think for me, I don't think it's a big mystery as to why their backcourt played well beyond Jordan Bohannon. You had Maishi Daly hitting open shots and an aggressive Isaiah Moss, which they need every night but don't get every night. And when you have three backcourt guys all playing at a high level, it makes this team better. Again, on offense, defensively, they still have holes all over the place, but you know what you're going to get most nights from Tyler Cook. Luka Garza seems like he's hit a point now where he's pretty consistent, and you know what you're going to get. If you get Moss and Daly contributing at a high level along with Bohannon, now you have an offensive team that can make some noise. They still need to figure out defense, though.
Yeah. A defense is going to be a major issue. We had somebody on the text line earlier, I think it may have been on Wednesday, wondering your impression of Joe Wieskamp and his ability to play defense, because a lot has been laid on his shoulders coming in next year, big expectations, but is he going to do anything to help this team with its Achilles heel?
I think he'll do more to help the what they're already strong at, which is offense. But I think
that seems to be a little bit of a problem.
But they still have inconsistencies on offense that I think he will be able to help, just because he's such a versatile offensive player. He's a guy that can put it on the deck, can shoot it from three, has a pretty decent mid-range game. He can rebound. He's a hard worker and a hard player. I think he'll play hard defense. I just wonder. And Alex and I talked a little bit about this off air. When you look at him having to play the wing in the Big Ten, and he's going to go up against guys like Miles Bridges, how well he'll be able to defend them in a man-to-man situation.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a question for everybody on the court at this point. And I thought that they played hard defensively against Michigan State, but there are mismatches all over the court. They were not going to be able to defend Jaren Jackson if he got any type of position down in the post, and if he stepped out from beyond the arc, and they were not going to be able to guard Miles Bridges either. It was just too big of a mismatch. But I think from a guard standpoint, I've been saying this all year, and I think a lot of times when we talk about this team, we sound like broken records, but they just, I think that having another somewhat consistent scorer on the wing would help this team tremendously. And whether, I'm not saying that it would make them an NCAA tournament team. I'm not even saying that it would make them an NIT team. But, like you just brought up, Isaiah Moss, when he plays well, this team plays well. When he doesn't, the fact that he's averaging 11 points per game is one of the most misleading stats of the season. It's been a roller coaster. It's 15, 2, yeah. 20, 3. It goes back and forth and back and forth. And when Jordan Bohannon doesn't have somebody on the wing to take away some of the pressure off of him, the offense kind of goes stagnant.
And talking about mismatches, there was actually one in Iowa's favor on Tuesday night. Were you surprised that Tyler Cook was able to have as much success? Now, granted, Michigan State's bigs kind of got into some foul trouble, and they weren't able to play as physical as they would like. But for long stretches of time, Michigan State had no answer for Tyler Cook on Tuesday.
No, Tyler Cook is a really explosive offensive player whose game continues to expand. His game is able to hit more face-ups than he was able to last year, dribbles it pretty well, he passes pretty well when he gets doubles and you know has the ability to find the open man. He's a guy that I think can play better defense. He still struggles in that area, but his ability offensively to get Nick Ward in foul trouble the other night was a big reason why Iowa was able to stay in that game, because Nick Ward was having his way on the offensive end until he got in foul trouble.
How would you describe Tyler Cook right now? Because leading scorer on this team, and I think the most talented player on this team, how would you describe the inconsistencies at times? Is it all on the defensive end of the floor? Is it kind of the maturation of his game that's still coming around?
Yeah, and I think he has a tendency sometimes to turn the ball over offensively and try to do too much. He and Jordan both feel like they have got to carry the load on offense, I think, and that creates turnovers. That's why if Luka Garza and Maishi Daly and Isaiah Moss can take some pressure off of them on the offensive end, I think it just makes – and the one guy – and I love the guy. The guy plays as hard as anybody on the court, but Nicholas Baer has not had a really good year. He's been very inconsistent. He was supposed to be your best defensive player, but he wears down, and then offensively, he's just not hitting outside shots either, and that's put pressure on other guys.
Rob Howe with us from HawkeyeNation.com as we take a look at the Iowa basketball program, heading to Ohio State tomorrow to take on the Buckeyes.
Have you seen the line yet? You want to take a stab at it?
I'll take a stab at it. You go ahead, Todd.
I'll say 15.5.
Give me 17.5.
Opened at 12.5. Already is at 13.
Already at 13. Okay.
So it's moving to your guys' direction. I mean, what do you hope for? You hope Ohio State's a little off after the huge win at Purdue. I mean, you got to hope that they're a little bit off. And like Michigan State was off defensively the other night.
Well, and Michigan State's got Purdue tomorrow,
right,
which should be a good game. Let's discuss this triumvirate of teams right now. Purdue, Michigan State, and Ohio State. All three of them, surefire NCAA tournament teams at this point. Who else? Who else is going to get in from the Big Ten at this point? Because I have a hard time looking at the field of 68 teams and thinking the Big Ten's only going to get three in. So someone from that mid-fringe has to sneak in, right?
Is Michigan actually on the bubble?
You took my... I mean, that was... I thought they were a shoe-in.
That's what I thought as well.
But they've struggled recently. That loss at Northwestern the other night was not good. And they just... They're just an up-and-down team, and I still think they're on the inside. I still think they're...
I do, too.
Because of the wins that they've had. But they've got to pick it up. I think Nebraska's a team that's really trending up right now. I think... They don't have any tough games left, but they're 9-4 in the league. And if they can get and stay in that fourth spot and maybe get up to 12 wins in the league, You know, that they've got a chance.
See, that's what I wonder about Nebraska, because they're going to be somewhat of a case study when it comes to Selection Sunday. Their resume is
not great.
It's awful. It's really bad. But like you said, if they have 12 wins in the Big Ten and they're up over, 21, 22 wins on the season, maybe they get one or two in the NCAA or in the Big Ten tournament. Would they keep a 24 win Big Ten team without a real signature win out? I think there'd be a chance of it this year more than any other year.
And are they more worthy than a Penn State? I mean, Penn State won at Ohio State. They're the only team to win at Ohio State. And Penn State's kind of in that mix. They're fifth right now.
And Nebraska's best win during the regular season will have been at home against Michigan, who is a team that we're talking about as a bubble team. Or yeah. A lot of people are talking about it as a bubble team. So, I think that Tim Miles might have done enough to get himself another year, but they might have a tough time getting into the tournament.
I think the NIT is going to have the Big Ten is going to be big in the NIT yes. this year. I think that there are going to be a lot of Big Ten teams on ESPN on Monday nights in March.
Penn State, Nebraska, Maryland. Northwestern, yes.
Yes.
No, Iowa. Iowa is not going to be one of those Big Ten teams on ESPN during the NIT, but they can still build off that Michigan State game down the stretch here. And Rob, I thought going into the post-game interview room on Tuesday night, I was going to see a group of guys that was just completely demoralized, that was ready to pack it in over these next five games. Those guys looked almost encouraged after a loss, which I know is hard for some people to swallow and understand, but even though it was a loss, and it sounds cliche to say, it was almost a victory for that team coming off of the Penn State loss, which was atrocious.
Yeah, and I think that probably is a factor. They've gotten their tails kicked pretty good this year, so to be able to hang with a top five team that long, you have to have be a little bit encouraged by that. And talking to Pemsel and Bohannon and Tyler Cook after the game, they were almost kicking themselves in the rear end, saying if we just could have played like this against lesser teams, they would be in a better spot. But you can play that game all day looking back. I think you hope, if you're an Iowa fan and a member of this team and the coaches, that this was a process to get to this point, that they will be able to continue getting better as this season. Because it's a rebuilding year, you want to build, and that's really what they have to do at this point.
And it seems like every time they've shown some kind of flashes of maybe a half or even a full game against Wisconsin and Minnesota, where they look good, they followed it up with an incredibly demoralizing performance, whether it was against Rutgers after the Illinois win, or Nebraska after the Wisconsin win, or the debacle in State College against Penn State after the Minnesota win. And I think that you can look at this Michigan State game and say, okay, they looked much better. Now, can they go on the road playing one of the best teams in the Big Ten and make it a game? And if they can, then it's a step in the right direction. If they get blown out by 20 or 30, you're right back to kind of where you were after those wins that they racked up this season.
And if you look at how they played against Purdue, a top five team at home, and then how they played against Michigan State, that was encouraging. They didn't get their doors blown off. And hopefully, as you said, tomorrow they show up against Ohio State, who certainly is a letdown spot for Ohio State after you win at Purdue. I would think that if Iowa could come out and start fast, they may have a chance to stay in the game.
Purdue and Michigan State meet at the Breslin Center tomorrow. It's basically Judd Heathcoat Day there. Going to have a lot of the former Michigan State legends on hand. Judd Heathcoat, a huge, huge influence on Big Ten basketball over the decades that he was on the Michigan State sideline. Who do you give the advantage to there between Michigan State and Purdue? Because it's a battle of the heavyweights, as we mentioned, those three teams that are at the top of a very top heavy conference this year.
It's an intriguing matchup, just from the you look at the inside players with Haas and Ward, and you know, perimeter guys like Vince Edwards and Miles Bridges. I favor Michigan State because it's in East Lansing. And I think it's just going to be, that's just a really tough environment to play in for road teams. But I thought Purdue would beat Ohio State the other night. So
yeah, but maybe you haven't heard this. Michigan State's played 5 games in 12 days.
Yeah, I had heard that.
It came up 4 or 5 times with Tom Izzo on Tuesday. Let's discuss Izzo a little bit here. You were in that post-game press conference with me. That looked like a man that was on the wrong end of a 96-93 win. That looked like a beaten, defeated man that was at that table, and his team won that game. How much of what's going on in East Lansing is weighing on him right now?
I definitely think it's weighing on him, and he mentioned a few times, you know, how the team's been able to get through adversity and whether they 23-3 or whatever at this point. But he's responsible for that adversity. So I have a tough time, Todd, you know, sitting there and looking at those guys and the potential for what they've been a part of. When I talk about those guys, I mean him and Richard Pitino. I have a tough time resolving that stuff to separate it and just focus on basketball when I've read about what's going on in their program. So he looks worn down, but it's his own doing. So I really don't have any sympathy for him.
What about the team? I may have been the only one that thought that Iowa was going to keep it close in that game. And the reason that I thought that Iowa could keep it close against Michigan State is there's something that has just been off with this team. And they're playing lesser competition, and this was not their first close call of the season. Their starting five is as good as any in the country. Nobody should be able to guard Miles Bridges. Nobody should be able to guard Jaren Jackson. Cassius Winston is an outstanding point guard. Their starting five, Nick Ward, Josh Langford, they are really, really good, but they're turning the ball over. They seem disconnected. How much do you think that's weighing on this team right now?
I think the off-the-court stuff is definitely weighing on them. Not only, you know how it is being a college student. For me, it's been a long time, so I don't remember that well. But those guys are dealing with this stuff on campus. Yeah. I'm sure they are. They know what's going on. Their families hear it. That's a lot to deal with. And I wonder how Izzo's been really deflecting and not answering questions about it, you know, through the media. I wonder what he's talking to his team about when it comes to this stuff, how he's handling it internally, if he's trying to ignore it and not addressing it, and the team is having to deal with it on their own. I'm with you, though. They look disconnected right now.
Texter pointing out that Michigan State also didn't drain 23s against Iowa on Tuesday night. I still think you've got to give Iowa credit for showing up and putting up the fight that it did against Michigan State. We'll see whether or not they can translate that into going on the road tomorrow. It's not necessarily one of the toughest places to play in the Big Ten, but you're going up against a top 15 team, and that building is probably going to be full. Let's circle back to recruiting here, Rob, since we're running out of time with you. As we mentioned, it's a 24/7, 365 thing now. 2018 is in the books. People have already forgotten about it. Iowa off to a good start in 2019. Where are they right now?
Yeah, they've had one decommitment from Larry Tracy, Tyrone Tracy, who is a commitment in the 18 class from Indianapolis. His cousin is Larry Tracy. He's a cornerback in the 2019 class, is decommitted. He committed in the summer, kind of on the back of when Tyrone committed. And I think he did a little quick and didn't get a chance to visit other schools. So I still think Iowa sits pretty well with him, but it's a matter of him being able to check out some other schools as well. They already have the in-state commitments of Ezra Miller, Tyler Endress, and then the really good tight end commitment, Logan Lee from Illinois. So they've got three guys in the fold already. They've got a junior day coming up, I believe, in 2 weeks, where they'll have a lot of guys on campus. Really, I mean, I did a big board today. Big board.
Yeah. We've got to talk to you about that.
Mel Kuhn Jr.
is that a copyright infringement that I did?
I don't think so.
Okay. The key guy in this class for me and who's number one on my big board is Max Duggan, the quarterback from Council Bluffs Lewis Central. I wrote a story yesterday, and Kirk talked about this the other day. They've only got three scholarship quarterbacks on campus now. They lost two graduate transfers. This is really an aspect, I think, of college football that really hasn't gotten maybe the attention that it deserves right now, that quarterbacks now, they're smart anyway. Ryan Boyle graduated in 3 years. He can go somewhere now and play for 2 years. I think this is going to be more the norm going forward, where guys leave if they're not the number one guy. If a guy like Nate Stanley starts as a true sophomore and has 3 years, that's going to impact your team. And Max Duggan, the kid from Council Bluffs Lewis Central, I mean, talking about kids that got offers from Georgia, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Nebraska, Penn State, Ohio State, Florida. He's as highly recruited of a quarterback from our state that there's ever been. I know it's more, people are focused on it more now and pay attention to it more, but he is just a key kid in this class, not only from a talent standpoint, but from a public relations standpoint. Iowa was his first offer, but can they hold off these other schools?
That'll be interesting to watch, because there have been some pretty big names that are after him. And Iowa State has its sights set on him as well. Now that we've seen another cycle with Matt Campbell and the Cyclones, what are your thoughts on Iowa and Iowa State and what appears to be a recruiting rivalry that's starting to heat up?
Yeah, and it's not only in-state, but it's in this region, too. You look at, like, Jarrell Brock, a running back out of Quincy, Illinois. Iowa and Iowa State are both going hard after this kid. Jack Campbell, the linebacker from Cedar Falls, both going hard after him. We may have talked about this before with Paul Rhodes. Paul Rhodes used to kind of go his separate ways if he saw Iowa was on a kid in-state or in the region. Matt Campbell's coming straight at him.
Matt Campbell, PJ Fleck, now Scott Frost,
yes.
Jeff Brohm. What are these recruiting battles going to be like in the Big Ten West and also regionally with Iowa State?
Yeah, Purdue's a good point, Alex, because they've really started to come. They were one of the schools that came in on Larry Tracy that he started to show interest in. Purdue's trending up. PJ Fleck, we'll see. He had a pretty good class this year, but he's more of a volume guy. We'll see how he helps. Scott Frost is also going to be an interesting case study, because there's a really, in this 19 class, there's a lot of talent in Omaha and in Western Iowa. There's two kids, Nick Heinrich and Chris Hickman out of Omaha Burke, that are really good. Iowa was in early, but Frost is going to come for those guys as well. So it's going to be interesting. It'll be interesting to see some of these battles, not only in state, but in surrounding states with these teams that are, you know, vying for the same recruits.
6:53, we'll step aside and take a quick break. When we come back, our final big board update of the day with Kyle, and then it's off to high school basketball on our two remaining frequencies. Back with more of the Todd Brolenkamp Show with Alex Kuhn after this.
Paint? No. Paramount isn't just paint. It's the number one paint in overall interior hide and stain resistance, providing the most advanced protection in just one coat. And now you can get that same outstanding protection with our new Paramount One Coat White. This first-of-its-kind one-coat ready mix white provides a beautiful white finish. You'll find Paramount paint exclusively at Menards. In third-party tests, interior paint claims versus super premium home center brands in eggshell sheen.
Right now at Menards, get 11% off everything, including Pittsburgh Paramount paint.
There are still companies that care, companies that have your back, companies that provide stability for you and your family. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is one of those companies. You can start at $17.27 an hour with great benefits you'd expect from a company that treats you like family. Sometimes it's the small things, like holiday parties, summer picnics, and movie parties, that speak volumes about your work family. Learn more about the PMX family at ipmx.com.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
Welcome back. Not much time left, so let's go ahead and get it out of the way. Our final Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the night. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Matt Campbell and the Iowa State football program announced some big news today. Senior former walk-on quarterback Kyle Kemp has been granted a six-year of eligibility by the NCAA. A release from the school explains the extra year is based on the totality of circumstances surrounding his transfer from Oregon State and Hutchinson Community College in Kansas. Campbell also announced that Kemp will finish his career on scholarship. The Iowa women would appear to have their swagger back now that they've won three in a row following an 80-76 victory over Penn State last night in Iowa City. Megan Gustafson continued her downright incredible season with 33 points, 14 boards, and a career-high 7 assists, while senior Chase Coley was good for a career-best 24 points. The Rough Riders are going to be traveling around this weekend. They've got a game tonight in Des Moines with the Buccaneers, and follow that with another one on the road tomorrow night with the Waterloo Blackhawks. You're hearing us right now on either 106.3 FM, the South Gym, or 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, because we've got a girl-boy doubleheader between Cedar Rapids, Washington, and Jefferson on 107.5 FM, the North Gym. The boys should be getting started shortly after our show's wrapped up, at which point you can catch that broadcast on all three KGYM frequencies. Looking ahead to tomorrow, you can hear the Cyclone Men hosting Trey Young in Oklahoma beginning at noon on the Main Gym, followed by the women hosting Oklahoma State at 6. We'll also have UNI traveling to Drake at 2:30 on the North and South Gym FM frequencies.
That Iowa-Ohio State line hasn't moved anymore since we've been talking about the game, has it?
Not that I noticed, but
what did I say, 14.5? It might be.
I thought you were at 15 and Alex was at 17, okay, well, something like that.
It could be 15.
I think it could get there by the AM.
I would be very inclined to lean that way if I were in Las Vegas or if they legalized this at a gas station kiosk playing the Iowa. I can't wait for this. Fingers crossed that we still eventually get there. What do we got to look forward to next week? The Hawkeyes are... You got a home
Michigan,
game, right?
No, the next two are on the road.
Next
Ohio
two are on
State
the road.
And then Michigan.
Okay.
Pretty easy games. You got Ohio State and Ann Arbor. That's not too hard.
The Iowa women, I know we've only got about 45 seconds left. They had a nice win last night over Penn State. Lisa's put together three in a row.
Yeah, they had kind of that skids there for a little bit, but they've certainly recovered really well. And, man, Megan Gustafson is just...
She may have a statue next to Gable out in front of Carver Rock Arena before everything is said and done. That is going to do it for another week of programming here. Local programming kicks off Monday at 3 o'clock. Scott Unesh and Mark Dukes with the Gym Class. Enjoy your weekend, and we will talk to you in 3 days.